So we are here this morning. We are closing up our series, We the Church. And so far we've talked about the global church and what that looks like, that we have brothers and sisters around the world. We have brothers and sisters in China, in the Philippines, in Asia, all throughout Asia, South America, all over the place, any country that you could possibly name. There is a group of believers who believe in Jesus, and we are connected as one body. Jesus, his prayer was that we would be one, that the church would be one as he and the Father are one. And we talked about how we are one with the global church through our faith in Jesus, through missions, through diversity, and through suffering. And last week, we talked about the local church, and how God has placed each of us, just as he places us in a family, that he places us in a local church, a place where we can grow, we can thrive, we can fulfill the calling that God has for our life. And some of the purposes, it was to refine us, to make us better, right? And also so that we can reflect his glory in the earth. And so today we want to talk about our individual responsibilities as the local church. Turn to your neighbor and say, you, the church. So what that means is that you have a responsibility, an individual responsibility, as the church of the living God. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read the entire chapter, because this is a good chapter. It just speaks so much to the church and what is our responsibility. In verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." One of the things that makes us part of the local church, again, is our faith in Jesus Christ. No one can declare Jesus as Lord unless the Holy Spirit compels him to do so. The Bible says no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit begins to draw him. And so in order to be able to declare him as Lord, what does that mean? If you declare someone as Lord, it means that he has complete control over your life. If you're in a kingdom, it's all about the king. He is Lord over you. Whatever the king says, that's what goes. And so confessing Jesus as Lord of our life is saying, Lord, you call the shots. You are my Lord. I submit to you. I surrender to you. And so we have this all together as the body of Christ, as the local body, this idea that we have faith in Jesus and he is our Lord. Amen. And so in verse 4 says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." So most of the time we point out the fact that there are a variety of gifts, but there are also a variety of services. There are a variety of activities that God has placed inside of each member of the local church. And so all of this is done by God. It is God's doing. God gives the gifts according to his good wisdom as he sees fit. God gives the acts of services according to his wisdom as he sees fit to edify the body of Christ. God gives the activities according to his good purpose for the edifying of the body of Christ. It is God who empowers the gifts. It all comes from God. If we look at verse 6 again, it says, "And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." So who's included in everyone? Yeah, no one's left out. Everyone is included in everyone. Say, you are part of everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are part of everyone. And so it is God who empowers everyone. God empowers everyone with some either a gift or act of service or some sort of activity. And I was curious about that word activity. What does that mean? And so in the King James Version, they actually use a different word. They use operations, which means a thing wrought or worked into shape by artistry or effort. And we think about all the different arts and all the different, you know, all the musicians in this place, all the different workers in this place who build something through artistry, through effort, using your giftings, your talents, whatever it is that God has given you, you're using that effort for the kingdom of God. And so God gives it all, and so he is the creator God. He empowers us, and it is given to everyone. No one is excluded, all right? So this includes everyone who has faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, what does that mean? What does that word manifestation, what does it mean to manifest? Just a quick definition. When something is manifested, it is perceived by the senses, and especially by the sense of sight. So we know that there's air all around us. You cannot see air, but whenever I begin to blow into this balloon, all right, even though you still cannot see air, you can see that air has manifested itself in such a way where it has affected the shape of this balloon. And so as the local church, as the body of Christ, whenever God manifests in our life, it means that he works in our life in such a way so where he is manifested so that people can see God. They can see God through your life. They can see God through your services. They can see God through your activities. They can see God through your gifts. And so that's what it means, that we are like an expression of God in the earth, and how important every member of the body is. Each one of us has a different expression. Continuing in verse 8, he says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of depth and what all these are. The main idea I want you to go away with today is everyone has a different gift. Not everyone is given the same gift. So let's read it again. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. So it's the same Spirit that quickens both. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So again, the giftings are given to us. God empowers us with these things according to his goodwill, not according to your goodwill, not according to the way that you want to use the gift, not according to the way that you think it should go, but according to God's goodwill, his good plan for our life. And ultimately, can you say that God's plan is better than our plan? Amen. Because oftentimes our plans fall short. Our plans leave us in despair and in agony. But God's plan, that's where we want to be. We want to be living and using our abilities, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as God wills. Verse 12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So if we take, for instance, the human body, we understand this, that there are many parts of the human body, and I'm no doctor, And I don't really know the whole anatomy of the body, but there's a few things that you know, we can't live without. Take, for instance, your spinal column. So one person is not the entire body. I am not the local church of Hope Community Church. I am not. We're all many members, and we make up this local body called Hope Community Church. Every member cannot have the same place or position. We must know where it is that we fit in, where it is that God has called us to, what it is that we are, how are we to contribute. And so the variety in the members of the body, It makes it beautiful, right? Whenever you see diversity, you see variety in the body, it makes it beautiful. Verse 14, continuing. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, which would be kind of weird, right? You just kind of roll around. I mean, if you was an eye. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But I bet you can hear really good. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, yet one
body.
So Paul addresses this idea of, why are you comparing yourself to other members of the body? If your function is to be an eye, then be an eye. If your function is to be a big toe, be a big toe. He says, why are you arguing about your positions? Why is this such a fight amongst you guys, amongst the church in Corinth? Why is this an issue? He says, every member has their own place, you know, this, and it's given to you again by God. God assigns the position. God assigns where it is that you will be. So, verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand. So now we're talking about members against members. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In other words, we need each other as the body of Christ. And each part, each member plays a vital part in the whole body. And so that there shouldn't be any quarreling. There shouldn't be any jealousy that arises. Well, so-and-so is doing this. And so-and-so is doing this. But what about me? No. Know your part. Know your part in the body. Continuing, verse 22, it says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, I want to make this little analogy. We talked about the big toe earlier. If I took the big toe off of my right foot and had it surgically attached to my head, it would be kind of weird. First of all, people would be looking at me like, Ted, why do you have a toe in your head? That's weird, you know. It doesn't belong there. First of all, my foot, again, how to walk because I'm missing a toe. My head would be hurting because I now have a toe on top of my head, and I'm like, you know, doesn't know how to act. You know, do you wiggle it around? Do you make it bob? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would be kind of weird, right, just having a toe on your head. And so every person has their place, and they have their place given to them by God. Amen. So that's the main idea that we want to leave with today. Know your place. Know your place. Know where it is that God has placed you. What talents and what abilities God has given you. What maybe he's given you the gift of tongues and different things. In fact, let's read on just a little bit more because it talks about some of these things. In verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Okay? On an individual basis, you are the body of Christ. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Now get this. I want you to zone in on this. Are all apostles? And you can answer. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Amen? And so Paul's saying, look, you should desire the gifts that God has given us. And as we talked about, there are a variety of gifts. But there's also a variety of services. You know, before I was a pastor, I was a youth leader. And whatever opportunities were afforded me, that's what I would do. And so if the games needed to be moved and organized for our teen night, guess what? I was organizing games and whatnot for the teen night. If toilets needed to be scrubbed for the church, and I'm so thankful for our men who come and do this every Monday and Thursday, I'm so thankful for you guys, then scrub the the toilet and scrub the floors for the glory of God, you have a part to play. And there is not one part of the body of Christ that should feel insignificant about what they do, because you are valuable to God. Every member is valuable. Again, if I don't have that big toe, you know, I'm walking funny, right? It's causing the rest of my body to not operate the way it should. Every member has its place, and when every member is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then that's whenever the body is functioning properly. Amen. So know your place. Not everyone speaks in tongues, according to is what the scripture says. Not everyone is a prophet. Not everyone has the same gifts. God has given to each one of us different things. And so various gifts, various activities, and various acts of service. Give it up for my wife as she comes up and closes up the message.
Today will be, if y'all would help us right here, today is an interactive opportunity for you guys to actually do what Ted has said. We are teaming teaching this together. So in your hands, you need to have one of these white sheets of paper. Yeah, maybe another person will help Miss Tina. See how we're going to do this? We're all body and all members. You need an ink pen and you need a paper. So if you don't have an ink pen, we have an ink pen for you. Raise your hand if you need an ink pen. So many times we'll do this and when you'll walk out the door and say, that was a great message. But today we don't want to say that was a great message. We want to say, how can I be a part? Turn to your neighbor and say, how can I be a part? How can I serve right here at Hope Community Church? And so we need your name and your birthday. We would need you to sign up on the Church Center app if you haven't done that. But this will suffice, because we will do this for you tomorrow. We will add you on to the Church Center app. This helps us so much to know you, to know who you are, understand who you are. Does anybody else need a paper or a pen? If you didn't get, even if you're young, if you're a kid, you can serve. If you are 99, you can serve. If you are, this is your first week, we have opportunity. If you say, I want to be a part of Hope Community, but we need you. We need you to be a part of the serving. Does anybody else need a paper or a pen? A paper. Now, everybody has to do it. Even if you're like, I've been here for 1,200 years, then you still have to do it, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We need your name and your birthday. If you don't want to tell us how old you are, ladies, it's fine. However, we need your birthday, because we want to send you a postcard when it's your birthday, and that helps us. Your current address, an email, and a phone number so that we can text you, because we love texting. Teenagers, we need this. Please, as well. So teens, please be a part of this. And I want to explain the paper, and this gives you an opportunity to say, how can I serve? Can you add a blank? Can you add a space? Absolutely, you can. But these are the ways that we believe our mission at Hope Community is to be a part. We give restoration through God, discipleship through our small groups, and then serving opportunities. And so you see on your paper two different parts, discipleship and serving. Here's the way we need you to check out, and we highly encourage you to say, am I a part of discipleship here at Hope Community? Let me explain to you the different ways that you can be a part of discipleship. All of us need discipleship. All of us need to grow in Christ. So the way that we do that is on our Wednesday night opportunity. That's every Wednesday. We have a men's small group. Every Wednesday, we have a women's small group. Every Wednesday, we have Momentum Teens. If you're wanting to help serve at Momentum, like you're an adult, wait up. Just don't sign that one. And then that opportunity of discipleship, we have kids church and nursery for you. Now, if you say, I can't do Wednesdays doesn't fit my schedule, I'm unable, or this doesn't work for me or my family, that is great. We have other opportunities to be discipled. The first Friday of the month, Jeremy and Amber are leading a small group at their house at 6:30. It comes with free food, and the kids can do whatever they want, is what I've heard. And so if you have kids and you're okay with that, that's fine. So if that works better, and they keep in communication with the group, they text each other, and it just becomes a community. Pastor Ted and myself are agreeing to do the third Friday of the month, a group at our house. If the first Friday doesn't match for you, we want to open up another opportunity if you're interested. If you say, that doesn't work for me, we are asking other people within our congregation to do the second and the fourth Friday of the month and sort of be on the same page. It only meets once a month. And a lot of times, I get that. As a mother of four kids, I can only do once a month, no big deal. There's also a parenting group here, a small group that meets the fourth Saturday of the month right here in church at 10 a.m. There's a prayer group with Mr. McKinley that meets every Sunday at 9:30 every Sunday, and he leads that. And then there's Hope Abounds with Azura, which is sort of a mental health, helping you overcome things that have happened to you, and that's the second Saturday of the month. So those are a little bit more specific, the parenting group, the prayer group, and Hope Abounds. And all of those small groups only meet once a month. So if that's all you can fit in your schedule, fine. But if you can do Wednesday night, say that's the way that I can do that. So again, that's discipleship opportunities, activities, like Pastor said, that you can be a part of. On the other end, so please check off at least one of those. And then on the other end, serving opportunities, and I want to explain these. Hope Kids is our ministry of 0 to 11 years old. We have nursery opportunities for 0 to 4 every Sunday and every Wednesday night. So if you want to do a nursery on a Sunday morning or nursery on a Wednesday night, and these are needed. Guys, that's not my gifting. I adopted kids. She came at 4. Hallelujah. I never changed a diaper. I know it's weird. But it's not my gifting. I know that. But that is a beautiful gifting. And if you can help us with nursery on Sunday mornings, and again, that's only once a month. We don't ask you to do it 4 times, or we don't ask you to do it every service. We want to honor you, respect you, allow you opportunities to serve, but that happens once a month. You would just serve in nursery, or if you like 4 to 11 years old with a lesson, that will be team teach. You will have another teacher with you and a teen serving with you. That happens on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And again, more than welcome just to serve in that capacity once a month. And there is also Hope Kids every Sunday. And I just added, because our VBS is, that's for kids 4 to 11, if you would like to be a part of Vacation Bible School this year, it is early. It will be June 3rd through 7th, 1:30 p.m. until 4:30 p.m., and we bus in kids. We will have 100 kids in this building every single day for Vacation Bible School, and that's just like if we don't even try. We'll have 100 kids here. It is incredible, and you can be a part if you're able to. The next way you can serve is our Momentum Teens Wednesday night service. We need adults to sit in the crowd. Again, we average 30 to 40 students every Wednesday night that are coming in from all areas of life, and we need your help. You will pour into that. You can lead a small group within that. And then also our teen extracurricular events every month. Like, for example, this month we're going to Beyond the Grave in New Orleans, and we need people to help drive fans to that event or help us. If you're interested, simply check it off. And then last, our serve teams. And then we have, and Pastor mentioned this, we do not have janitors here. We do not have people that help us because we are short-staffed. And so Monday mornings, we have a clean team that comes in from 9 a.m. until 11 and just gets everything ready for the week. This whole building transforms. This becomes a game center. We have after-school tutoring program. We have to clean our showers. We have Hope Showers. We are helping the the homeless. We are getting more and more homeless that are taking a shower free of charge, which is an incredible ministry, but somebody needs to clean up after the shower is done. And so, and again, the more people that help us, the more things we can add. We do that on Monday mornings, and then we do that on Thursday mornings, because Wednesday nights are like, we have about 80 to 90 people here, maybe even, I haven't counted lately. It is packed with people coming in for Bible studies, for our teenagers, our kids' church, and so afterwards, it looks like a bomb went off. And Thursday morning, that's a team comes in and cleans and helps us to get ready for the new Sunday mornings, puts all the rooms back together. On Monday, we have food distribution. This church receives food from a local food bank, and it's very eclectic. It's diverse. It comes from Sam's and Walmart. All the stuff they couldn't sell this weekend, we take in all of that. The kitchen will be completely full with food this Monday morning. We sort through that. We put everything in its own place, and then we begin to give boxes out to people and our students, and also to help with Hope Fridges, which is an outside opportunity of service. So if you like doing that kind of thing, sorting, Miss Tammy leads that. McKinley leads the cleaning groups for the ministry. Here's another one, and I wanted to explain this one. The cooking ministry is led by Azure and Charlie, and what happens is when someone is in need of food, they're going to the hospital, they had a funeral, or just maybe they need a picker-upper, like they're just going through a hard time. We text in Azure, and they lead that, and we provide 2 to 3 meals for that family, typically a family of 5 to 6 people, and we just, we just want to bless you, and you bring that food to their house. So that's that ministry. Van driving. Every Sunday morning, we have drivers, van drivers, that are picking up people. They arrive at 9 a.m. They go and do a route. I know several people this morning rode in on our vans. They will be bused home after service. And then also, we have Wednesday night the same thing. We use 2 vans on Wednesday night to pick up people and to van them home. So that happens before and after. And again, we would never ask you to do it every single Sunday. We really try hard to do just once a month. We are starting an elderly ministry, elderly and visitation, for those that are shut in, that are widowed. We have many, many in our congregation that are of age, that just are lonely, that they are seeking friendships and help. And so we are looking for someone to lead that, as well as if that is your gifting. It is a need. We need to be better. The church needs to be better, and as a whole, our society needs to be better at honoring age that people have walked with the Lord year after year, and now they're approaching, you know, the end of their life. We need to be with them. I feel that strongly. There's a media and sound team that happens every Sunday that runs our sound for our worship team. The media and the slides, we're on live on Facebook, so again, that helps us to do all of those activities. Our reach team, that's our ushers and our greeters right now. Fran is one of our ushers. We have someone at Miss Yolanda is at the welcome desk that stays the entire service just to make sure that everything is well in the hallways and those kind of things. Ushers, greeters are the ones that when you walk through the door, you get a little bulletin. And again, we only ask that it would be once a month. And last but not least, if you are a vocalist and you're an adult, we're always looking to add in vocalists. This does require that you've been with us 6 months in our congregation and a tryout. But if you have a gifting of singing, and we don't know, because we don't know, if you're a vocalist, sign that and we'll get you started. And if you're a musician or an aspiring musician, I know Pastor and myself would love to not have to play drums and piano every Sunday. We would want you to be a part and take over that. So if you're aspiring, we can teach you, and then you guys can therefore be the hands and the feet of the ministry. Again, if you'd like to add anything on that, but here's what we're going to do. You have to fill it out. I'm in teacher mode, a little bit in teacher mode, slash youth pastoring. So we need you to fill it out, and when you fill it out, we are giving you a world's finest chocolate. I'm rewarding you. I'm rewarding you. Every person that turns it in to us is going to get a reward because it's good. And World's Finest Chocolate is good. And because we believe that you are the church. And specifically, you are the church right here at Hope Community. We can, to be a reflection of Jesus, we need each and every one of you. Every member is important. You are important. You are valued. And your giftings and your activities are important as well. So can I pray, and then you fill it out, and then you turn it in, and we've got the chocolate ready to go. Right when you walk out, Fran got you. He's like, turn that in, turn that paper in. Guys, we can't move forward unless you help us, and we want to. Our prayer is to be a bigger reflection of Jesus right here in the Houma area. Would you bow your head and please close your eyes? God, so thankful, God, for your word this morning. God, that we are all members here of the local body. God, that you have called us and you have distinctively given us different gifts. God, you have given us different services. And God, you have given us different activities. And God, we want to be the evidence and the manifestation of Jesus right here in the Houma area. God, we know that you are here and your spirit is moving, but God, we want to do that in a practical way. God, use us. God, use us, whatever that is. God, if our hearts have been leading in a certain direction on how to lead or how to be a part right here at Hope Community, God, help us. And God, help us to commit. God, some of it's just us saying, this is valuable. The work of the Lord is valuable. The local church is valuable because, God, it reflects you. And I pray, God, that we will do this well. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Turn in your forms in Jesus' name, and we will see you Wednesday. And don't you get a World's Finest Chocolate. That was real. That wasn't just me saying something crazy, which also typically happens. But if you will bring that to the front desk and be a part of Hope Community Church, we want you.